I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all,
that's the sad one.
Because love covers over
the whole world.
Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
One of the most basic questions that we can raise is, what are we about? What are we doing with our lives? Why are we here? I think people have always asked, why am I here? What is my life about? What is my purpose for existence? I probably, and I know I do this on occasion, maybe not on occasion, maybe I do this regularly, but I share a story that I probably told you before, but whenever I think about this, you know, why are we here, I always think of the Herman and Henrietta story, where Herman and Henrietta move into a new place, and Henrietta says to Herman, Herman, if it weren't for my money, we wouldn't be here. Herman said, I know that. And then later on, she buys a new piece of furniture. Herman, if it weren't for my money, we wouldn't have this new piece of furniture. I know that. Henrietta. Well, Henrietta goes on and on. And finally, Herman's had enough. And he said, honey, I'm sorry to tell you, but if it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here. Why are we here? What is our purpose? And I think the Bible takes up that question, and here are some of its answers. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. That's what it's about. Solomon has experimented with a number of things to try to find meaning and purpose for his life. And then he comes to this wonderful conclusion here in chapter 12. I want you to fear God. I want you to keep his commandments. That is the duty of everyone. Or the prophet Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And so Micah reduces it to three things here. Solomon mentioned a couple of things. Fear God, keep his commandments. Micah says to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And then Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what life is all about. That's why we are here, to seek God and his kingdom first. I've often shared with you the acronym that I've used for FIRST there to help us determine, am I really seeking his kingdom first? And the F stands for focus. What is my focus? What am I focused on? The I stands for income. I need to look at my check stubs regularly. The R stands for relationships. What about my relationships? Am I trying to build meaningful relationships? The S is for security. Where do I turn in time of need? I recall the fellow in the hospital, the doctor comes up to him and says, sir, I'm sorry, I think all we can do now is pray. And the fellow said, has it come to that? Well, that's where it starts, that's where it continues, and that's where it ends. Security. And then T stands for time. We not only check those, look at those check stubs, but we look at our day timers. How are we using the time that God has given to us. So those things have kind of helped me to try to determine if I'm truly seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. But this morning I want to approach this subject from a little different angle. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. We were created for God's glory. Created to bring glory to God. So our purpose is to glorify Him in all that we say and do. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. To God be the glory. So again, our purpose is to give God the glory. It's an orientation toward life. It guides our moral decisions. It gives us purpose in finances. It gives us purpose in family. It causes us to ask, does this attitude, this task, this purchase, this act, does it really give glory to God? So what are some of the ways that we can bring glory to God? Well, number one, by worshiping Him. Worship provides for us an opportunity to encounter our great and awesome and mighty God. Revelation 4 and 5 reveal a couple of throne room scenes. And just listen as the four living creatures and the 24 elders and thousands of angels give glory to God. I can almost hear them singing what we sang this morning. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah, because that comes through here in these two texts. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. We bring glory to God by worshiping Him, just as those around the throne were worshiping the great God. And then chapter 5, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Can you imagine the loudness of that voice when you have thousands and thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard say, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen.
That's why I keep the mics.
And the elders fell down.
I mean, why did they even tear down?
I didn't see an honor of an honor.
We bring glory to God.
I'm
worshiping Him. Number two, by loving other believers. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so Jesus indicated here that the badge of discipleship is the love that we have for one another. How is the world going to know that we are truly disciples of Christ? Well, Jesus said in this text, it's by the love that we have for one another. Sometimes somebody may ask me, what's new about this commandment? I thought that was in the Old Testament about loving one another. I think the newness comes from the fact that Jesus said, you love one another even as I have loved you. That takes that love to a very different level. That kind of sacrificial love, giving love, a love that is there. And so Jesus said, this is how people will recognize that we are his disciples. And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Beloved, if God so loved us. Sometimes cannot get my little peanut brain around that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. But I think we bring glory to God also by becoming like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we speak the truth in love, and we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So that is, of course, a day-by-day challenge, is that we try to become more and more like Christ, that we follow in his steps, that we imitate him in all that we say and do. And that's what Paul is encouraging the church here in Ephesus, that I want you to speak the truth, I want you to speak it in the spirit of love, but I also want you to continue to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. But then I think we also glorify God by serving others with our gifts. Part of the text that was read this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, as we serve one another with our gifts, we do so with the strength that God supplies to us. And then Peter says, in order that, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our verse for this month. Let's say that together. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That pretty much takes care of everything, doesn't it? Whatever you do. And then remember the text in Isaiah chapter 43, that we were created for God's glory. And then Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So as we go about doing those good works, as we go about serving others with the gifts that God has given to us, it's all about bringing glory to God. And so whatever you do it with the attitude of bringing glory to God. Now God has blessed us all with talents, with gifts. We have different gifts. We have different talents. I understand that. But whatever those talents, whatever those gifts may be, Peter is encouraging us, Jesus is encouraging us to use those so that in the end, God is the one who is going to be glorified. But then I think we also glorify God by telling others about him. John 15, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, I'm not exactly sure what all Jesus had in mind when he talked about that you bear much fruit. Certainly, it could be if we continually demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Certainly, those are the fruits of the Spirit that are to be demonstrated in our lives on a daily basis. But I think Jesus could also have in mind that as we share the gospel with others, that as others respond to the gospel, that we are bearing fruit for him, and so proving to these disciples. And Jesus said that his Father is glorified in this, that we bear much fruit. So, telling others about him. And so I think I want to encourage all of us that whenever you have an opportunity to share that good news with someone, that you do that. Because in that way, Jesus said, my Father is glorified, you know, by this. So I think we glorify God by telling others about him. Created for God's glory. God formed us, and he said he created us for his glory. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you all for the glory of God. That's what we have to keep in mind. That's the main thing. Or as someone put it, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And what is the main thing? It's glorifying God. And that's what we want to emphasize this month, is that everything we say, everything that we do, we want to glorify God. And again, I was always moved when I read those texts that we read from Revelation 4 and 5 about those throne room scenes and those number of people that are there, the angels, the 24 elders, the four living creatures. And what are they doing? They are constantly praising God for his power, for his might, for his love, for his holiness. And certainly, I want us all to take every advantage when we can come together as a body of people. Because that is certainly one way that we glorify God. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's what we are about. That's why we are here. That is our purpose in life. Now, there may be other ways that you can think of that we can bring glory to God. But I think here are some ways that all of us and go out there and bring glory to God. That's what it's about. That old song, what's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Well, I'm suggesting that's what it's all about, is that we bring glory to God. If anyone needs to respond this morning, we are going to sing our song of encouragement. If you're here and you are ready to respond through faith with finished baptism, we're here to help you with that most important decision. And that certainly will be one where God will be glorified. And I can just imagine the angels in heaven rejoicing. And that's what Jesus said over one who comes and responds. And so if you are here ready to do that this morning, we want to encourage you to do that. If you desire the prayers of the congregation for any reason, if we can pray with you, pray for you, we're here to help you, to encourage you, to be there for you. And again, when you come and ask for prayers, I don't want you to think in terms of, well, I'm so weak. To me, it's sometimes a sign of strength to be able to come and say, I need the prayers of the congregation. I think one of David's greatest moments was when he recognized that I have sinned and I need God's forgiveness. Against you only have I sinned, and that was an evil in your sight. I think that was a time when David showed some real strength and courage. So don't think in terms of a sign of weakness, but it can be seen as a sign of strength that you need help, and that you want us to pray with you and to pray for you, that you strive to glorify God in all that you say and do. So then whether you eat or drink or whatever, now that's one of the times where whatever is used in a good way. I think I've read that one of the most irritating words is whatever. Have you ever used that? You're in a discussion with your wife.
Give me the mic.
But you want to know, what do you want to do? Oh, whatever. I know that drives me crazy. Okay, we'll stop there. But I think we've all, you know, that the old whatever. But here's one time. When you eat or drink or whatever you do, you do it all for the glory of God. Let's stand together.